For a little while this afternoon, I'd like to speak on the subject of temptation. Temptation. An introductory verse, Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 14 through 15. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was all points tempted like us, yet without sin. Why? Why was he tempted but without sin? Why did he come here in the form of a man? Someone once said he wasn't half man or half God, he was all God and all man. Well, this explains it here, that he could experience what we experience. So when we pray to God through Jesus Christ, and we mention something that's going on in our life, something that we are being tempted, something that we are being experiencing bad times, well, he's experienced those things as the God-man, as the man side. Nothing that we could say, as Brother Ronald said this morning about Job, that we could find anything any worse in our lives than Job experienced. So I think the same thing about Jesus Christ, that he knows what we're going through. So he's a high priest. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, so that he knows what's going on. Well, what is temptation? Temptation is when that you have something offered to you, and use it as a negative thing. You're being appealed to your carnal side, to those things about you that would make it attractive to you. So something very attractive is being presented to you. And then you have the opportunity, decision time. Do I do it or do I not do it? And how do I stand up against these temptations, which are based from Satan? Satan is smart. Satan is hard to deal with. Satan is tricky. He is a conniving individual, and he can present things to us that we can thoroughly rationalize all the time to say, well, maybe we should go on and do it. Little boy is at the checkout stand at the grocery store. Look at the candy bars. He's looking at them, looking at them. And the checker says, boy, are you trying to steal one of my candy bars? He said, no, sir, I'm trying not to steal one of your candy bars. It's the idea of making decisions and making decisions. Satan is one that would rationalize and help us to try to make it say, well, okay, it's not too bad. This guy loves donuts. He goes to the Dunkin' Donut place. He said, Lord, if you want me not to have a donut, don't let there be any parking places up there in the front, and I'll drive by and I won't get a donut. There wasn't one. But on the fourth trip around, there was one. So we can make deals with God, and we can say, but it's not correct. We need to look at Christ, Jesus Christ's example in Matthew, the 4th chapter. The Lord had just been baptized. The high point, you might say, of his early ministry, baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit of God came down like a dove. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It don't get much better than that as far as the Son of God beginning his ministry, being introduced to the world, and kind of everything just going fine, going fine. And then immediately it says in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Matthew, then was Jesus led up in spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It wasn't the devil that led him out there. It was the Spirit of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit leads him in the desert because it was needs that he might go through as far as the God-man to experience some things. Number one, he might show us how to stand up against Satan. That is our daily job. Satan is alive and well. A lot of people talk about whether Satan's alive or is Satan real. Satan is real. I don't know that he has two horns and a tail. It once was a young lady wrote a, I think it was a country song, and about said the devil had blue jeans and blue eyes. This guy was tempting her. And it's hard sometimes to recognize Satan, but I think he's real. And so Christ was going to be confronted by Satan. And so it's necessary he'd be led out in the wilderness. And so it might not be just an easy confrontation, but he might be in a difficult circumstance. When he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. That has got to be one of the greatest understatements anywhere in the Bible or anywhere. 40 days and 40 nights. The God-man, it was miraculous that he could survive, because I think ordinarily about 3 or 4 days or even less than that, your body begins to consume itself. And yet he was blessed of God. But after he was, from a human standpoint, he was hungered. He was in a weakened condition. That's the time when Satan came to him. And that's the time when Satan comes to you and I too. We're worn down. We're mad. Things are not going our way. We've had some tough days. We've had a car wreck. We've had some other things. And all of a sudden you're tempted with something, to say something, do something, which would have long-lasting consequences. And yet you're in this weakened circumstance, and you got to be like the little boy. I'm trying not to say what I shouldn't say. I'm trying to let this pass. I'm trying to deal it. And you got to realize it, that Satan knows when you are in a weakened circumstance. David was on top of a rooftop there in Jerusalem. He's been by himself for a while. Battle's going on. Yet David is, as I say, lollygagging around back in Jerusalem. He looks out and sees Bathsheba. Well, he apparently was in a weakened situation. Instead of turning his head and saying, I'm not going to look over there, go away, put up a barrier so I can't see, he looked, he stared. Next thing, we find that he calls for, they commit adultery. She gets pregnant. He kills Uriah. It just goes on and on and on. Where in the very beginning, had he stopped this weakened condition and just said, no, I'm not going to do it. Turn my back on it. I'm just going to try to stay away from him. Sometimes we like to be tempted and get by through temptation, but we leave Satan our forwarding address. We say, okay, I want to get away, but I don't want to get too far away. Sometimes we want to skate right at the very edge of disaster. So, okay, we're going to do something, and we're going to avoid doing it. And yet, in a situation where we might be in a real weakened condition, we might give in to it. It's so much better to just stay away from it, to avoid it. It says, then the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Now on the surface, that is not too bad an offer. Jesus, you've got to be hungry, 40 days and 40 nights. And these flat pieces of rock here, which Brother Ronald's seen these things before, and I think I've been told, they kind of look like flat Jewish bread. They have the appearance of bread. And all you got to do is just turn these into bread, and you'll satisfy your hunger, and no big deal. Just move forward, move forward. But what Satan wanted the Lord to do was to obey him, to do what Satan said. He wanted Jesus Christ to kowtow to Satan, to be obedient to Satan, and have Satan say, okay, I'm in charge now. You follow me one time, now you're going to follow me some more times. But the Lord used, he could use anything, and you know what he used scripture. He went to Deuteronomy. To those of you who have ever read through the Bible, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and you know, it's getting tougher and tougher. And when you get to Deuteronomy, it really gets tough to hang with it. But that's where some good stuff is. He says, Deuteronomy 8 and 3. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Satan says, there's only one way to solve this problem. There's only one way. You're going to die if you don't turn these stones into bread. There's no solution. And Jesus says, well, in the Old Testament, when Israel was starving, they thought, and they were about to die, we need to go back to Egypt. We need to have bread. We need to have the onions. We need to have everything we had back in Egypt. And God sent them manna. They never would have thought about that. They never would have said, send me something from on high that looks like flour, and we'll make bread out of it, and it really tastes good. They never even thought that was possible. But every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, God says, I'll give you this. You ask for this, I'll give you this. We find that these disciples said, they're starving out there. Send them home. We've had a big, good church meeting here. Send them home. We can't feed them. You got anything here? Got five loaves and two fish. Fed them. That was impossible for man to think that that would happen. And yet God says to them through Jesus Christ, we'll feed them. We'll feed them. But there'll be some way you never ever thought of. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Not live by physical bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That is the solution now, is to be depending upon God, having enough background in what the Lord's instructions are, and to follow those instructions and avoiding the things that Satan says, here's the only way you can do it. No, there are other ways to do it. Bread from manna, bread from multiplied bread, Jesus Christ being the bread from heaven. And so the Lord stood up to number one thing in the arsenal of Satan is the lust of the flesh. In other words, you're craving food, you're craving drugs, you're craving illicit sex, you're craving anything that your body just says, my body wants it, my body needs it, my body has to have it. And that's, he comes to work on us on that, to say, I'm going to tempt you, and I'm going to present things to you that you're going to try to have to really fight to avoid, because you may not be like Christ. You may not have fasted 40 days and 40 nights, but it may come to you in a time of weakness. And if I've never been on drugs. I took some oxycodone once. I had thrown it out of the house. I felt so good. I didn't want to have it in the house because I knew it's a temptation to me. Well, if you're on something like that, I know it's just so hard. Your body becomes dependent upon it. And those who make those drugs, even those who make our foods nowadays, addiction to get us hooked, fast food joints, you just crave and got to have something that's made by fast food. I read of a guy who had eaten nothing but Big Mac hamburgers at McDonald's for 30 years. They figured he ate like 50,000 Big Macs, and he was still alive. He said, I like Big Macs. And that's all he ate. Well, of course, we all know it's probably not a good balanced diet. But we can be tempted to do like that just because our body craves things. Elder Bradley talks about some counseling he did with some drug users. And he said that one of them said he had to drive by his dealer's house every day going from home to work. It was so tempting to stop there and go see him and get something. Brother Bass says, I don't care how much it adds to your commute, drive around. Get away from it. Take the long way around. And don't go by that place where you're tempted because your body is craving for this. Start the bread, the things that Christ would want. And his answer was, man should not live on bread alone. We don't have to do these things. We can have all sorts of options, and God is a way maker. He's an agent of change, as it were. And therefore, we can look at the things that are presented to us in a different light. Well, that didn't work. Satan goes to plan B. He's got all kinds of plans. Instead of using the main thing that we are tempted with, the lust of the flesh, and then he takes the Lord to a city, to the holy city and sits on the pinnacle of the temple. He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot on a stone. He's misquoting Psalm 91 and 11. Satan was saying to Christ, you're going to go through a lot of suffering. You're going to go through a lot of people belittling you. And what, from a human standpoint, what you need, Jesus Christ, is to be popular. Be popular. And if you go on top of this temple, I understand it's a tall temple and it goes down into a valley, the location probably we're talking about, you throw yourself off and angels are going to catch you and bear you down, and everybody's really going to be impressed. And you're going to shortcut a lot of suffering, a lot of things that you're going to go through. And the Lord told him, you misquoted this thing. He says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The actual verse says, it shall keep thee in all thy ways. And in other words, we're not to be tempting God. We're not to be throwing ourselves off temples in order to try to impress anybody. I remember down in Mississippi, there was a preacher that claimed he could walk on water. And Ross Barnett Reservoir, he said, I'll be there this Sunday afternoon. The big crowd showed up because they want to see him walk on water. He was a no-show. Everybody was really disappointed. But sometimes we can try to make something really outstanding, try to impress people, and God's not in the matter. And that doesn't work. But popularity is number two for Satan's arsenal. And that's really something that young people have to deal with. They don't want to be ostracized. They don't want to be the one on the outside, the one that is kind of looked on as sort of a goody two-shoes or a religious fanatic. They don't want to look like that. They'd rather go with the crowd. My dad used to always say, I want to go somewhere. And well, who's going? Everybody's going. Well, if everybody were to jump in the lake, would you do that? I said, yeah. Sounds like fun to me. But one of the fathers said, no, everybody's not going because you're not going. The boys had come by and says, can Tommy go with us? Well, where are you going? Nowhere. My boy doesn't go there. Well, being popular is something that the teenagers, it's just wearing clothes, doing things, eating, drinking, whatever. Be like everybody else. Conformity. You know, kids say, I don't want to be a conformist. I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. And yet they do. And yet they do because they don't want to stand out. They don't want to be so different. I may have told you this before, but when I was in high school, something came out for guys. It was pants with a buckle in the back. It was kind of a stylish thing. You tied a buckle on the back, had a little metal buckle to it. And I got me a pair of those pants. I ripped the back of my seat up on my 49 Studebaker convertible, terrible, sliding across there. I said, you know, this is dumb. Cut the buckle off, get rid of that thing. Because I wanted to be like everybody else, and I damaged my car. Well, we had to realize that being like everybody else has got a downside. And the Lord says, I'm not going to go this way. I'm not going to cast myself off. I'm not going to let you tempt me. He says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Once again, from Deuteronomy. Again, the devil taking them up unto exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. The lust of the flesh, popularity, didn't work. Now, let's see if we tempt the Son of God with power. Give him all power, prestige, money, give it to him. And he can avoid going through the suffering. Satan says, you can have the kingdom without the cross. You can have everything in the world here, and you're going to avoid the cross. What a temptation. What an offering. First, it wasn't Satan's to give. He didn't have the power to do that. And it was not the way the Lord was going to achieve his kingdom. He was going to face the cross for you and me. No shortcuts, no ways around, no doing anything to avoid any of the suffering that he went through. And yet he had to have the cross in order to have the kingdom. He says, show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He said, all these things will I give you if thou fall down and worship me. Satan finally comes exactly to what he had planned on. He says, I want the Son of God to worship me. I'm not going to defeat him. I know the scripture says he shall bruise my head. I know in the end I lose, but for a brief time, I want him to worship me. Bow down and worship me. And you can have all of the kingdoms of the world. You can have everything. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Another Deuteronomy. The Lord says, there are a lot of things out here I can worship. And you might be on the list I could worship. But I'm not going to worship anybody except God, and you and I are not to worship anybody except God. That is the three temptations. We have the lust of the flesh, the popularity, and finally power. How many people in this world today, and particularly in this country now, have in essence sold their souls for power, popularity, money, not their eternal souls, but they've sold their influence, they've sold their happiness, they've sold the happiness of their family in order to get ahead and to be better than everybody else, to drive the bigger car, the fancier car, the bigger house, to have all of these things that are appearances because of Satan tempted them and taking shortcuts. Apostle Paul says, I've learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Therewith to be content. Contentment is great gain, to be satisfied. Porter Wagner had this song about a satisfied mind. That's so appropriate to think about. That is so much more important than having this world's wealth. And that's what the Lord said. He says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Luke's report on this added also, the devil leaveth him for a while. For a while. If you and I are tempted, any one of these three categories, and we stand up to him, you're sweating bullets. You're trying to decide what to say or do, or whether to give in to the temptation or what. And finally, you do the right thing. I think there comes a calmness, a peace over you, a knowing that you've done the right thing. It says angels do come and minister unto you, as Luke says. But then he'll be back. He'll be back. He hasn't lost your address. And at times like we tend sometimes to want to get as far away as we can from Satan, but not too far, because we think, well, maybe we can enjoy pleasures without getting caught. If you get too close to the furnace, you're going to get burned. If you get too close to things that are dangerous, you're going to get caught. It's better to just put distance between you and the temptation. Satan's smarter than we are. You try to argue with Satan, you try to rationalize with Satan, you're going to lose. He's the prince of the power of the air. He knows how to punch all your buttons. If you stand up to him, you're going to be dependent upon the Lord. And the word of God that the Lord used here is an example to us. He could just said anything that he wanted to, and yet he used scripture. I read about a man when going through his bills at home. He found a bill for $500 for a dress that his wife had bought. He screamed, come here, what's going on here? She said, well, I went to the dress shop and just looking around, and there's a beautiful dress up here on the mannequin, and all of a sudden I heard a little voice, and it said, try me on. try me on. And I did. And it looked good. But then I thought about what you said. You preached on the subject of get thee behind me, Satan. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan. And a little voice said, looks good from the back too. And I bought the dress. It's your fault, honey. It's your fault because of what you do. We have to make application now to dealing with Satan. Beautiful dress, you can't afford it. Get out. Don't let it hang around and don't let it be continued to work. Make some decisions. This is how it's going to be. I'm not going to vary for how it's going to be. Christ suffered as a high priest. Experienced all the temptations we could have experienced. He knew what it was to be ostracized, to be beaten, to be set aside. Do all these things happen that you and I maybe have never ever come close to going through what he went through, and yet he did for us. And therefore, when we pray to him and say, help me on this area, whether it be the lust of the flesh, whether it be popularity that I'm tempted to be, or whether it be just I want power, I want to be in charge, I want to have money, I want to have all these resources. And the Lord says, I've been tempted. I've done that, been there, done that. And here's how I stood up to it, and you can stand up to it the very same way. Be alert that any time you have a high point, you're probably going to have a low point coming pretty soon, and that's when Satan is going to come to you. Back in 1976, I was ordained to the ministry. Preston, Glenn, and Nancy came down, and Jim and Reba Urban came down for the ordination, and we really appreciate that. It was a great ordination. I got through, didn't get stumbled up too bad. But I came home, and I had a 56 Mustang. I bought it about 8 years ago. It was used. It was a 76. And while I was out getting ordained as a preacher, somebody broke the pasture window out. Drove by. There was a brick in the window. All of a sudden, I went from the high point to the low point. I was so mad, I probably could have killed whoever did that. I lost all my religion right then. Luckily, that person wasn't available, so I didn't hurt him. But be aware, when you join the church, any high religious point, that just yanks Satan out of his mainframe. And he's going to bring some stuff to you. He's going to tempt you. He's going to lay some stuff on you. It's going to be very, very hard to deal with. Bible says to Job, you served God for naught. Look at what's happened to you. Now look at all these things. And yet Job, through it all, never cursed God. Brother Ron was talking this morning about he lost his children, his possessions, but his wife is still there. I don't know if that was such a blessing. You know, she's the one who says, Job, curse God and die. I think maybe that would have been sort of one of the bad things that happened as well as losing his kids. Because maybe a more superior wife might have said, well, you know, you can go through this. You can stand up to it. But no, she says, curse God and die. But through it all, through all the temptation, and John, I'm sure, was tempted any time just to hang it up and say, I'm out of here. Just do whatever you want to do, Lord. I'm not going to serve you. I'm going to be unfaithful. But no, he didn't. He was faithful, he was patient, he was one who would carry through and do, in a way, serving God in the best he could. And you know what? God was proud of him in the very beginning. It says when the sons of men came together to talk and Satan came walking about and doing the world, God was bragging on Job. You ever thought about that? God bragging on you, or God bragging on me, or God bragging on something else? That would be a great thought to think. We can never achieve that. But here's one instance where God bragged on an individual. He bragged on Job. He says, have you considered Job? What a good man he is. See, he hates evil. He's a good guy. The thing is, Job stood against temptation. He didn't give in to it. And you and I can choose to do it or not. It's our choice. Do you remember a character called Flip Wilson? And he had a character called Geraldine. G Geraldine was a gal who flipped dressed up like a girl, but she was always doing bad things, and she'd say, "The devil made me do it." The devil can't make you do anything. The devil can tempt you. The devil can make it look good. The devil said to Eve, says, "Look at this fruit. Isn't it tasty? Wouldn't it be good?" And but it didn't take the fruit and cram it in her mouth. She had to reach out and pick it off herself. If Satan could have, he would have pushed the Lord off of the top of the temple, but he couldn't. He didn't have the power to do it, but he could tempt. I hope during the coming week you will recognize temptation when it comes, that you will be tempted. When you walk out the door here, you will be tempted to do something that is displeasing to God, that brings dishonor on God, and how you deal with it is the answer. The question is temptation. The answer is your response. God bless you.